I hope you're having a great day. And we're going to continue with Ephesians today. And I just want to, for the ones didn't meet Jose, Jose is here. We've been praying for him. The family from Costa Rica, that we're going to, they're here for the West Institute. And we have another family from Costa Rica coming, and another family from Germany. So LBC is becoming very international. So you can be praying for everybody who's coming to the West Institute. The West Institute is a big blessing for many people, because there's many people that they have been in ministry and they haven't had the opportunity to be trained and taking a year of your life and dedicate that to the Lord. It's not much, you know, it's a year that people can invest and then go back to mission. So it's very neat to see that Jose's family are here, because they want to get trained and take the word of God back to Costa Rica. So we're going to read today Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33. And I'm going to read it, and I'll pray after we read it. And I want to clarify a few things before we jump to the text. Let's read Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives shall submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one hath ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come together, Lord, and just come before you, Lord, and see what you have for us in your word. I pray that this afternoon, Lord, we can read this text, and it won't just stay in our heads, but it will make sense in our hearts, Lord, that we can be able to walk in love as Ephesians is calling us to walk according to your word, Lord. And I pray that everyone here, Lord, will leave this place transformed. Amen. We've been in Ephesians for a while, and now I think you have noticed that Paul is giving some instructions for the church. And now those instructions that he has been given for people as a congregation, now he's bringing this to a more intimate place, and is the marriage. This, I want to clarify a few things I said first, and these things are, this is for a marriage, but it doesn't matter what stage of life you are. If you are not married, if you're just dating, the word of God is still truth, and it will have an effect in your life. But when we're going to talk, we're going to be talking about submission, and this is explicitly for husbands and wives. And there's many people who have taken this text and they have created problems in the church, because Paul is very clear when he talks to an audience and he's specific with what he says. And this doesn't mean that a woman should submit to anybody. He's clear, he's saying that it should be to her husband. And also, if somebody's dating somebody, it doesn't mean that that person is in a dating relationship. It doesn't apply in that. This is for a marriage. And it's important for us to understand this. And also, something that we need to notice here is that verse 22 is not a separation from the text that we have read before. Verse 21 is a connection between 22 and on and the previous passages. In many versions, they have a break. It seems like probably Paul has been changing topic, but he's not. That's a whole idea. And if we read verse 21, says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word submission has been destroyed by the world. And people has changed the meaning of submission. And we as believers, we need to go back to scriptures and see what the word submission means. Because many people, when they hear the word submission, it has a negative, they just go to the world has been teaching that that word is negative and it comes to value. But the word submission has nothing to do with value. This is about God's design and God's sovereignty and God's design for marriages. So before we go and go through the verses that we just read, I want us to go to Genesis, because I think it's important to understand what God has established before we jump into this. So if we go to Genesis 1:26, I'm going to be jumping in Genesis. If you don't know the creation account, I will encourage you to go and read it so you can have a better picture of all this. But I'm going to go through a few places here just for us to have some clarity of what Paul is saying in Ephesians. It says in verse 26 of chapter 1, then God said, let us make men in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created men in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The word man here is a generic word for mankind. So that's why at the end of what we read, he said that he created male and female. Now, after this, we have something here in Genesis 2. And 2:18, and it says, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. So we are seeing that God has given a role here to Eve, and is to be a helper. And this happened before the fall. We know that God has given roles before the fall. And I think all the troubles we see now in marriages, in society, comes from the fall, right? So we can go and see. I want to explain a few things here when we see what happened during the fall. Everybody knows that Adam and Eve were in the garden, and God told them not to eat of a certain fruit. And then the serpent came and pretty much lied to Eve, and she saw that the fruit was good, and she ate the fruit, and then she gave to her husband. But what happened after that is very interesting, because we know, if you read it, you see that Eve is the one that goes and eat the fruit. But when God goes and look for them, it says in 3:9, chapter 3:9 of Genesis, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" So this is very interesting, because people see this and they say, wasn't Eve first the one who ate the fruit? And then God is calling first Adam. But this is because God had appointed Adam as a protector for Eve. And he failed in that job. In fact, if you go to Romans and you see the account of the fall, Romans 5:12, and on, Eve is not even mentioned in that chapter. And he's talking about the fall, and is Adam the one who's been blamed there? So I think this, what we're going to read now, we can go back to Ephesians. And this is a text that anybody who reads this text, either if it's somebody in the church or somebody who's going to teach, I think it has to handle this text with fear. Because so many people has used this verse for tyranny, for leadership, in a wrong way. But what the Bible is teaching here is something that even during the time of Jesus was, or Paul, we're talking about Paul teaching this here, it was very unpopular to say to someone to love their wives. Because depending on where you read different places, people will either worship women or devalue women. None of those are the right view from God's perspective. And then you have somebody like Paul coming here, and he's telling the man, you have to love your wife. That wasn't something that people was practicing then. And let's go now, and we're going to read. I'm going to try to divide this in two sections, just because the wife is first and then the husband. And it says here, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." The word submission in Greek, I don't know how to pronounce the word, but the meaning of this word is to place yourself voluntarily under somebody's protection or under somebody's leadership. I think the word is hypotasso. And that word, it means to place yourself voluntarily under somebody's authority. And Paul is calling here, wives, to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And this is important, because many people will use this text and just say, wives, submit to your own husbands, and period. But that's not what it's teaching. Because when a wife submits to a husband that is glorifying God, automatically she's glorifying God through that submission. She's submitting to Christ. What happens when there is a toxic relationship or an abusive male who's abusing his wife? Should this wife submit to her husband? If the husband is a wall between her and God? Of course not. If this man is causing his wife to sin, at the end she has to be responsible to God. But also the Bible teaches that a wife can win her husband through her actions and through her testimony for Christ. But it doesn't mean they have to suffer what this abusive man is doing, right? We have authorities. And of course, if this man is not loving his wife and he's not a godly man, he won't submit to the people in the church. So that's why God has given us authorities. She can call the police and bring things to light. Because Paul is teaching us in the verses previous to this how we should live and how we need to love each other as a church. And that growth in maturity, it requires also church discipline. So when it comes to submission, it's a voluntary act on the part of the wife. Because the husband cannot make his wife to submit. It won't be godly. It won't bring glory to God. And now he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Okay, let's talk about this. Husbands, we are not the saviors or wives. What this text means, I think it shows all the benefits that the church has received by submitting to Christ. And that benefit is the benefit of salvation. In the same way, he keeps saying, Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives shall submit in everything to their husbands. Because the same way that the church receives benefits from Christ, when the wives submit to her husband, there are many blessings and benefits that come through that submission. So to sum up this, it has to be voluntarily, because you know you are honoring God. And when you submit to your husband, you're automatically submitting to Christ. Because this is something that whatever we read here that is written for a wife, the wife will be accountable before the Lord for that. And whatever is written here for the man, for the husband, we are going to be accountable before the Lord for that. Now, he changes a little bit here in 25, and now he goes to the husband. And he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. As I told you, I was doing a little research, and it seems like during that time, men, they were not honoring women as they should have been honored. And you can see that in Colossians, because in Colossians he says, he uses the same words, and he said, husband, love your wives and not be harsh with them. So that's an indication that maybe people weren't treating their wives godly. And the interesting thing about this word love, as you know, Greek has many ways to describe love. And one of the ones we find in scripture is the word phileo, and it's the brotherly love. But this, when he's talking about love here, he's using the word agape or agapeo. And that's very important, because that means sacrificial love. It's not brotherly love. It's the same love that Christ has shown to the church through his sacrifice. So he's calling the husband to a higher standard of love. And as a response of that love, wife submit to it. And there are two things, two major theologies that are in the church. One that I reject a lot is called egalitarianism. And that's pretty much feminism in the church. And it was a product of probably the 70s and the women liberation. But what happened with those types of ideas that come to the church that are not biblical is that we're just telling God that his ideas are not good. God is the one who invented marriage. And there's many people here who, society, they have been trying to redefine marriage. And we have no role in it. We have nothing to do with it because God is the one who created marriage. It's the same way, just as when we sin against somebody, we are actually sinning against somebody, but even though I'm sinning against my brother, he didn't make the rules. He didn't define what it's sin. So at the end, I'm sinning against God because I'm breaking his law. In the same way, when we obey his word, when we submit to one, when he's, this is the other thing that is important to understand. We just saw in Genesis that God created men and women equal. But when it comes to submission, there is a leadership that has to be in place. And usually we don't submit to the leaders of the country. The leaders of this country, they don't submit to us. We submit to the leadership that has been placed over us. So, but leadership has nothing to do with value. Because we all, and that's the argument of this whole movement. And by default, they're saying that whoever has a leadership, the other person has no value. And that's not what God has been teaching at all in scriptures. And if you go with me to Philippians 2:4-8, just to clarify this. And it says, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We will never say that Jesus is less than God the Father and the Holy Spirit. We know that they are three persons with the same value, but even the Trinity has a role. Even the Holy Spirit is called the helper, and they submit each other. And that doesn't change the value and the authority that they have. So the idea of equality shouldn't be even a thing that we should think about in the church, because God has made equal both of us. And I know there are many churches out there that when they see this passage, they go to a text. Let me read that text to you. They actually go to Galatians, Galatians 3:28. And you know it, it's the one that says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, and there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And they will take this verse and say, yeah, see, everybody can change roles. That's their idea when they see this text. But the truth is that this text is talking about salvation. And everybody has salvation. It doesn't matter if you're a female, you were a slave at the time, or you're a male. And that's what Paul is saying. It's not talking about values. It's talking about authority. It's talking about salvation. So we cannot take this text and make it fit in something that God has already said that is good. So Let's keep reading. 26. It says, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and be holy and without blemish. Now, again, these passages are very rich in theology, but it doesn't mean that we as husbands do this for our wives. We cannot clean our wives. We can, but that's something that Christ has done. And what he's saying here, just in the same way that Christ has sacrificed and has give up everything for the church, the men should do the same for the wife. That's what this means, because we cannot sanctify our wife. Maybe it helps in the process of sanctifying her, but at the end, that's God's and the Holy Spirit's job to sanctify us and her. So what this text is saying is that just as Christ has done all these things for the church, whatever is in our power, we need to do it for our wives. And now, and then he says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. In this one, I fell miserably. Because God is calling us to know our wives as we know ourselves. And I have a question for you. Do you know the needs of your wife as your own needs? And that's why I said I fail, especially because Sydney changes things that she likes every 15 days. But that's not an excuse for anybody not to love their wives well. And that's the point of this. He keeps saying here, he said, he who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. And that's what he's telling us. Do we know the needs that our wives have as we know ours? We know how to take care of ourselves. And when we come in a covenant of marriage, the Bible says that we are one flesh. And that's the point of this. I think we all have homework to do. and I think when I see this, I'm thinking, whenever something happens, I see Sydney running to see if she can fix things with the kids, especially if the kids are sick or something. If I get sick, she's trying to be there for me. But when she gets sick, I'm just trying to take care of myself. but that's the selfishness that is in man. And I think God is calling us to be selfless and to learn to love with a sacrificial love. And that's what Paul has been calling us to. And then let's keep reading. It says, because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's what we were just talking about. And it says here, this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. He's talking about a mystery here. And he says that this mystery refers to Christ and the church. But there is something here that caught my attention. And it's that he's given us instructions on how to live and how to love each other. And when we walk in the truth of Christ, things work. A marriage will work if we walk in what God has telling us to do. If the wife takes her role and walk accordingly, marriage will work. If the husband takes his role and walk accordingly, marriage will work. And that's the mystery, that whenever we obey God's word, things work, because that's what the word of God does in us. It shapes us. When he's talking here about nourishing the church, that's what God does with his word. And he's calling us to be able to lead our wives in a way that they're gonna grow and that they're gonna be nourished through the word of God. We as leaders, sometimes we, and this is important, just because somebody has the ability or it doesn't have the ability to lead, it doesn't mean it's qualified. And what I mean with this is God has called the man to lead. And even if a man says, I don't have the gift of leading, that's why the wife is a helper. Because the God has given men the role of leading. We come from a culture where Jose and I, where you see mostly women in churches. You never see the husband. And women are the spiritual leaders of their homes. But that's not God's design. We need, when this is very interesting, because when God said, take your cross and follow me, the same phrase was used in the army to take arms and go fight. And whenever we're called to do something for Christ, we have to do it knowing that it won't be easy. That, as Pastor Paul usually says in LVC, things are simple, but it doesn't mean they're easy. We can understand the scriptures, doesn't mean things are going to be easy, but God is calling us to this. And I just want to close this with this. Actually, let me see. He sums this up to two things. And he says, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Cindy and I, when we were married in Costa Rica, we just a few years married, we read this book called Love and Respect, and they talk about this cycle that marriages go through. And it's because the woman, the wife, is not respecting her husband, then the husband is not showing love to his wife. And then it just becomes a cycle, because everybody is expecting something from the other. But one has to break the cycle. And it's painful. So that's something that we need to always think about. Whenever we get stuck in a cycle, one of us has to break it. And something that we need to also, I didn't mention in the beginning, and it's very important, is that this command is for believers that are spirit-filled. Because it's going to be hard for somebody to make sense of this unless you have the Holy Spirit. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us understanding of this, because in the strength, because that's what Paul says above. And he says, look carefully how you walk. And then he said, verse 18, of, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. And it's because when somebody's drunk, we cannot control the Holy Spirit. And I think he does this comparison because when somebody's drunk, they don't have control what they do. And we cannot control the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit can lead us to be godly. and lead us to His will. And I just want to leave you with this in Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And that's for all of us. We have a calling as wives and husbands, and we need to walk accordingly. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word and for this time. I pray that you can help us, Lord, to honor you in everything, in our families, in our marriage, Lord, that we can be godly men and women that wants to glorify you through our marriages, and that we can be a testimony as a marriage to others, Lord. That's the purpose of a marriage, to be a reflection of Christ in the church. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us here can we can walk according to your word, and people will see out there that you have the answer, Lord, and that you are the only one who can bring freedom, peace, and everything we need for salvation, Lord. Thank you. We bless you. Amen. Let's sing one more song. Okay.
Try in vain a thousand ways, my fears to quell my hopes. But what I need, your word has said, is ever only Jesus. Jesus, my Lord, King of the heaven, King of my soul, I turn my treasure in all my reward, Jesus, to know you, then know you. I'm than knowing him.
Please join me in the Lord's prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Happy Mother's Day.